Jesus was the ultimate revolutionary. Without shooting a shot or wielding a sword, he changed the world more than any person has in human history. He did it by love. He did it by love. You are designed by him, by God, in his kingdom to be a world shaker, a history maker, an agent of change. Jesus said it like this: wherever you go as a light. And the moment you come there, darkness has to leave. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the world. So we are empowered, we are enabled, and we are called in the kingdom to change every place we go. The world's better because you're in it. And we're just getting started. Amen. We're just getting started. We're loving our city to Jesus. And we're going to love nations to Jesus in the time to come. This morning, Revolution Part 3, Overcomers Change the World. You have your notes. You can read it. In a few months, we'll probably be transitioning into electronic notes. For all of you that have smartphones, if you still have a dumb phone, we'll maybe keep some notes available for you. But then you can have these notes available for a long, long time. An explorer was climbing a mountain. He found a cave, went in a cave, and he found a hidden treasure. He opened it up, and inside of it was just one bottle. He began to dust it off, and as he's rubbing all the dust off of it, suddenly a genie appeared out of it. And the genie said to him, "I will grant you one wish." The man knew what he wanted. He said, "I want every woman in the world to love me." Poof! Immediately he was turned into a chocolate bar. Be careful what you ask. Revelation chapter 12. The book of Revelation is an end time book. It is filled with calculated mystery. And anytime anyone claims they have a perfect understanding of Revelation, don't listen to them, please. But it is also filled with dynamic truth for the end time church. That's us. How many of you believe that we're living in the last days, the end times? So we can read these scriptures and really partake of, especially the dynamic promises they give us. Revelation 12, verse 10. "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven," if you don't like loud music here, you're going to be unhappy in heaven. "And the loud voice declared, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down." Now, this is not a future promise. This is a promise fulfilled at the cross. The moment Christ took my sin, Satan was defeated. The moment his blood touched the earth, sin was cleansed. Sickness was destroyed. The curse was redeemed. Jesus did it all then. So talking about strength and power and salvation are here now through Christ. The power of Christ has come in his glorious kingdom. Satan has been cast down. He is a defeated foe. Although he's existent and active, he's acting illegitimately. And the job of the church is to enforce the victory of the cross over his actions. Verse 11, "And they," who? The end time church, the believing ones, the body of Christ, the army of God. "They," that's you. Someone say, "It's me." "And they overcame." Overcame. The idea of overcoming, the Greek word means super victorious. "And they," the super victorious ones, "overcame," conquered, lived in victory, "the devil," the him being Satan, the accuser, the condemner, the deceiver, "by the blood of the Lamb." By the blood. So let's just briefly stop there. The blood of Jesus is enough. the blood, we don't need another heavenly agent to have victory on the earth. Satan is defeated by the blood that Jesus Christ shed 2,000 years ago. The accuser has been cast down. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Joshua the high priest was clothed with dirty robes, and they took them off of him. And Satan was accusing him before God in Zechariah 4. And the Lord said, take off his filthy garments and give him a brand new righteous robe and put a brand new crown on him. And then the Lord, the angel, turned to Satan, the accuser. The Lord rebuke you. The devil's been rebuked by your Jesus. And when you say his name, you enforce his blood. By the blood of Jesus, you've been redeemed. By the blood of Jesus, no demon power has authority over you. By the blood of Jesus, the mouth of the accuser has been clamped shut. By the blood of Jesus, you are more than a conqueror. By the blood of Jesus, you can do all things to Christ. By the blood of Jesus, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, you're adopted, you're accepted, you're beloved, you're called, you're chosen, you're delivered. By the blood of Jesus, every promise of the Bible is yours. By the blood of Jesus. And they, the last day, church, overcame the enemy. Because the blood speaks victory. I was just 21 years old and pastor in a church in California, youth pastor and music pastor, and a man got saved there who was a professor at USC, a man of some standing, a substance. His wife was in the medical field, and they were just very wonderful people, only been saved a few months, and they came to me and they said, one church service, pastor, we don't mean to be weird, but stuff's moving around in our house by itself. And they said, we've watched it. You know, we're just petrified that there are spirits or the devil's in my house. And I said, well, I know how to fix it. So I'm 21. I come to their house, and here's this man. His whole wall's decorated with degrees. He is a person of substance, of intellect, of consequence, and yet the devil's messing around with him. His wife, a high-achieving medical person. So I walked in the house, and I said, show me what room. They showed me the room. They got behind me. We'll follow you in, pastor. What'd you do? I walked you through. What'd you do? I said, devil, get out of this house. I plead the blood of Jesus over this room. Amen. Got up and left. They said, that's it. I said, that's it. And I said, oh, by the way, I'm never coming back. Next time the devil breaks the rules and illegitimately manifests his authority against you, you tell him to shut up and get out. Come on. You have to be careful, because in the kingdom now we have specialists. And their specialty is deliverance. I'm all for deliverance. If you got them, get rid of them. But the problem is, whenever we rely on someone else's authority to obtain our freedom, we will always be imprisoned by other people's actions. But Jesus said, everybody, 5 minute old Christian in the kingdom of God has authority over every demon in hell, over the devil himself, over every weapon of the enemy. You are an overcomer. Don't be afraid. You're going to overcome. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, this God needs your partnership to fulfill his promise, to manifest his purpose. God can't do it until you say it. In the beginning, God didn't think, God didn't mold with his hands, God said. Spiritual authority, spiritual activity is accomplished by word. And when you say it, see, your testimony is not just what God did. Thank God. David said, God used me to kill a lion. God used me to kill a bear. That's only half of your testimony. Here, David said, here's the rest of my testimony. Today, God's going to use me to kill that big, ugly giant over there called Goliath. Your testimony is what God's going to do for you this year. This is going to be the best year of your life. This is your victory year, your restoration, your turnaround, your breakthrough, your salvation, your healing, your deliverance year. They overcame by their words. You're never without the resource. Let me briefly say this. Whenever you resurrect in your memory and rehearse in your vocabulary things God has done for you, you don't just bring that thing to your memory, you bring that anointing into your present. David said that when the lion attacked me, when the bear attacked me, and the moment he started talking about the lion and the bear killing anointing came into us today. So there's power in your testimony. And many times people enter into present difficulties forgetting past testimonies. And when they do, their arsenal of weaponry is diminished. They're asking God for help. He's given them help. Use your testimony. Your testimony has power. And they loved not their lives unto the death. This means a couple of very important things. There are more Christians being persecuted at this moment in history than in any time in church history, numerically. We also live in a unbelievably, it's hard to even imagine, in this present modern hour, Christians are being beheaded. That's it. You know, Revelation 20 talks about that specifically. Amazing. So please remember to pray for the persecuted church. Amen. Our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. Because God, every place where their blood is shed, God's going to do something great. Now listen, just a little commentary. The biggest revival of souls in the history of the Muslim faith is about to happen. Because people that have not yet engaged in fundamental violent forms of jihad, etc., look at their religion and they look at Jesus. And Jesus becomes even more attractive the more violent they become. Get ready. Whole nations are going to be swept into the kingdom. Watch what happens. They loved not their lives. It also speaks about the crucifixion of our flesh, the death of self-government, the death of self-drive, determination. So you and I, we take up our cross. That doesn't mean staying married to the person you hate. Necessarily. Your cross is the will of God, which oftentimes is at conflict with your will. You got to do it if he says to do it, even if it somehow doesn't fit. Okay. So they overcome. Everybody say, I am an overcomer. Okay. So if you're an overcomer, you have to stop being afraid of adversity. Adversity is the key that awakens your anointing, that brings your advancement, and that reveals your assignment. I could stop right there, baby. God needs you. And sometimes he'll paratroop you right into a hellish mess, and you'll say, why am I here? God, take me out. He said, I will, as soon as you change it for me. Change it, baby. Pray heaven down. Love them till they see me. Amen. Witness until they find me. So couple of verses. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. Be vigilant. on your guard, fully awake, your senses attuned. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can have for dinner. Now, please get this. It seems in the church we're often caught in the conflict of two extremes. One extreme is, don't ever talk about the devil. I have preacher friends that tell me, I don't ever get the devil at any public time. I just ignore him. Well, I got news for you, preacher. The Bible does not say, ignore the devil and he will flee. If Jesus had to bind and cast out, guess who else does? I had a professor in college, and one of my first converts, I had some supernatural things happen in my youth group. And so I cast a spirit out of a Satanist. It was an unbelievable moment. I'm 19 years old. He starts manifesting. He's dressed in black, has black makeup on. He's scaring the hell out of me. I'm preaching. I'm up there preaching. He falls on the ground, starts foaming. Starts like a snake crawling toward me. What'd you do? Close my eyes, hope he went away. I was having revival. What happened? Every kid in that assembly got you ran. When I looked up, it was just me and the kid in the room. I go, great. Then something came over me. I came off the platform, walked down to that boy. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command every demonic power to come out of you. He screamed so loud. Our building was next door to the big building. The adults, about 100 of them poured in because he screamed so long and so loud. What happened? When he was done screaming, he sat up and said, where am I? I said, you're at church. You're about to say the sinner's prayer. Get saved. Listen, he got saved. When he got saved, next week, my youth group was full. He brought half the high school with him. Everybody knew him. The warlock became an evangelist for Jesus, the witch that switched. So, when you're anointed from God, you never have to chase devils. They'll always show up. Be sober, be vigilant. Resist him. Next verse, steadfast in the faith, knowing everyone else around the world goes through similar things. So we resist. Here's what James says. God gives more grace. Everybody shout, more grace. Here's how we get more grace. God resists the prideful, the proud, but he gives grace, ability, strength, anointing, revelation, help, promotion, deliverance, healing, life. He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, in light of that, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Anything that belongs to God has authority over the activity of the enemy. Anything you submit to God has authority over the attack or weaponry of the enemy. If the devils give everybody to God, then tell the devil to get out. Once God's been invited in, you can kick the devil out. Someone Facebooked me that. I like that. So our problem is, well, Pastor, how do I submit to God? I'm glad you asked. Honey, can I borrow your Bible? All of you millennials, this is called a Bible. Before it was in your smartphone, all of us old people had these things. Now, the will of God is precisely revealed to you in this book. We submit to God by placing the authority of his word first place over our life. If you don't, see, there's all kinds of social opinions. Well, I think this, I don't think we should, I think we should be, I'm glad you're thinking. But if your thinking isn't filled with his thinking, it's all stinking. So we want, well, I don't know about marriage. I know about it. It's in the book. The book talks about sex and money and behavior and life and business and ministry. Everything we need's in here. So we submit to God by surrendering to His Word, by being a part of a local church, recognizing God's working in the local church that He set some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, special teachers. Why? To equip you to change the world. We submit to God by submitting to each other. Here's what I found out. When I was first married, I was very independent and very strong. And it, you know, I don't need nobody. Me and Jesus. You kidding me? Me and Jesus and the woman. That's enough, man. Don't need nobody. So when I was young, but now I'm old, I found out I need everybody. I found out there are no lone rangers in the kingdom. And the more isolated you are, the more vulnerable you are to the enemy. But the more submitted, the more integrity, the more interactivity, interconnectedness you have, the safer. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Resist the devil. Resist the devil. He can't win unless you quit. If you keep resisting, he has to flee. Don't surrender your family. Well, Pastor, nothing's happening. Keep resisting the devil. Don't give the devil something he has no rights to simply because you're exhausted. Luke 10, Jesus speaking to us, behold, I give you authority to trample. It's so interesting because Israel's topography and geography and climate, so much like Arizona. So they have serpents and scorpions. I give you authority to trample. Everybody say trample. Man, do the Holy Ghost cha-cha. To trample. Nancy Sinatra said it like this. These boots were made for walking. It's an old reference. Look it up. Scorpions, and over all the power. No matter what it looks like, you've got authority over it. Of the enemy. So no matter what it is, your authority, you have authority over anything the enemy will ever unleash against you. And you have authority to crush it. How many of you ever killed a scorpion? How many of you ever called someone else to kill a scorpion? There's everybody. So, I hate to say this, I love the squishing sound. Ah, you're dead. Now, I have to say, I don't always behave that way with snakes. Huh? Yeah, I call Mary for snakes. Honey, there's a snake in the kitchen. Yeah, with a tong. She found one once in her kitchen with tongs. It's a true story. Everybody say, I have authority over every weapon of the enemy. Then Jesus said, oh, by the way, in that engagement, nothing can hurt you. There's no residual. There's no residue effect. There's no consequence. You tell the devil, my blood, the blood of Jesus, my name, he'll flee. Okay, a couple more verses. Romans 8. In all these things, he listed some things, some negative things that could happen in life. We are more than conquerors, super victorious through him that loved us. We are more, everybody say more than conquerors. Look at your neighbor and say, you're sitting next to more than a conqueror. Look the other way and say, you're sitting next to more than a conqueror. Fear is hell's great weapon. Love is heaven's great weapon. Fear cannot defeat love. In every conflict they will ever have throughout all of time, love will always conquer fear. Because your God is love, because he has lavishly poured out his love on you, and because his love never fails, you have been made more than a conqueror through him who loves you. Someone shout, I'm more than a conqueror. 1 John 5, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. If you're born again, wave your hand and say, I'm born again. So the moment you got born again, you can remove your born to lose tattoo because you were born to win. Anything God births has authority in the earth. Anything he births. And when he birthed you, he put his DNA into you. World overcoming. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Your faith is the device by which your victory will be manifest. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, have overcome them, the spirit of Antichrist. For greater is the one in you, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Last scriptures here. 1 Samuel chapter 30, I'm going to close in just a couple minutes. Let me go quickly. David is 3 days away from being king. Look at your neighbor and say, you're almost there. The closer you get to a destiny moment, the more hostile and agitated demonic spirits become. If you're in a season of things being activated and agitated, something's about to happen from God in your life that's good. It happened when David and his men came to Ziklag, which Ziklag means desert, pastureless wilderness. That on the third day, the Amalekites invaded. They burned the city. They took all the women and the children captive. They plundered all the wealth. They didn't kill anybody, but they kidnapped everyone. So David and his men, 3:3, came to the city. They saw it burning. They raced down. They hoped against all hope that it wasn't what they looked like. But when they came to the city, their houses were burned, their families kidnapped, their personal wealth stolen. So they sat down, 4, and wept, lifted up their voices and wailing until they had no more power to weep, exhausted by a full morning or a full afternoon of grief. David lost his 2 wives, his children, his family also. David's equally distressed as his men because he lost his family, but now he's lost his men's respect, for the men spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and daughter. Now, this is really, really important. Spiritual warfare is never what's happening to you. It's always what's happening in you. But the enemy is a student of human behavior. And the Amalekite spirit, it means the warlike people that licks up. It means to discourage, to devastate, to wipe something out. There's nothing left. Ultimately, it's manifested in a portrait of being completely discouraged, depressed, disillusioned. So here comes this spirit, David's 3 days away from being king, and he goes through the worst thing he ever went through. Lost his family and his wealth. When the devil releases after you, he'll hit your money and your family and finance. So that happens, and everyone reacts normally. Grief is a normal healing process. But the kingdom of God will give you keys that will prevent your grief from becoming toxic. And the quicker you introduce godly resources into your hurt, the faster you heal. The men are angry. They've gone from grief to anger. They want to kill David. But David, next line, encouraged himself with the Lord his God. He took responsibility for his own emotions. Don't blame people. You can't get better as long as someone else is the cause of all your pain. You can't get better as long as you're pointing your finger as a victim. victims never repair. But David took responsibility for his own emotions, and then he started repairing. You have to do, baby, whatever. I'm so proud. A bunch of you today came to church going through all kinds of things, and just getting into this building was spiritual warfare. But because you got here, something's already changing inside of you. You got to encourage yourself. You got to encourage yourself. Come on. You got to preach to yourself. You got to talk to yourself. You got to lay hold. You got to listen to your prophetic words over and over by CD. Or you've got to read the Bible. You've got to listen to worship tapes. You've got to go to church. You've got to do whatever it takes. Because when you can get your heart right, you can get your stuff back. When you can get the pain out of you, you can get the things back to you that were taken. When you win the battle on the inside, you can win the battle on the outside. Now, a couple of verses. Look at Deuteronomy. We'll come back to David. God speaking to Moses, remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt, how he met you on the way, attacked your rear ranks, or the stragglers at your rear when you were tired and weary. He did not fear God. Therefore, it will be when the Lord your God has given you rest from your enemies, in the land which the Lord is giving you as an inheritance, that you will blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. You will not forget. Now, look at me. God is deeply, permanently offended. Not that the tribe of the Amalekites attacked Israel, but how they did it. So the Amalekite spirit is the spirit that studies you, finds your weak place, and waits until you're in a weak moment. And when you feel the weakest, and where you are the weakest, it hits you. So here's this massive army. There's 2 million Jews coming out of Egypt. The Amalekites from their mountain perch study them. They say, let's not attack them where they're strong, all the young men up front. But look at the rear ranks way back here. The old, the weary, the tired, the children. Let's hit them there. They studied them for a few days, waited for everyone was tired. They swooped down from the mountain. They hurt, they plundered, they killed. Then they hid. God was so offended. He said, every generation, that spirit that goes after them, that spirit of discouragement that tries to hit people when they're low, tries to find their weak spot, that I will war against that spirit from generation to generation to generation. And David's 3 days away from 17 years of waiting. He's 3 days away from being king. And here comes that spirit. Hits him in his money. Hits him in his family. Hits him in his mighty men's loyalty. He lost everything. He goes to King Abiathar, or the priest Abiathar. Is it God's will that I get my stuff? God can't wait to answer that question. Is it God's will I get my stuff back? Yes! Pursue! Overtake, and without fail, recover all. David goes, only 400 men were strong enough to go with him. They go to the brook Besor. They drink a Besor, which means burning inside, type of the Holy Spirit's empowering presence. They catch up to the Amalekites, and here's what it says. David defeated the Amalekites, got all of his stuff back, got all of his men's stuff back, listen to me, and then got the wealth of the Amalekite nation, and said, this is David's spoil. See, your problem is the platform for your purpose. And when you overcome your problem, it launches you into prophetic destiny. When David overcame the Amalekites, in one day he became the richest man. What did he do? He sent gifts all across Israel. And they couldn't wait to make the gift-giving guy the next king. Your gift will make a way for you. You're almost here. Last scripture, Exodus 17. Amalek came and fought with Israel, Rephidim. It was when Moses held up his hands, they won. When he put down his hands, Amalek prevailed, but his hands became heavy. No one can make it by themselves. So they put a stone under him. He sat on it. Aaron and Hur supported his hands. One on one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were up and steady to the going down the sun. So Joshua, Jesus, defeated Amalek. So you'll find out that God will give you a strategy, a prayer strategy, a unity strategy, a team strategy to defeat the devil. Some of the last year and a half or so, some of the largest churches in the whole world have made this comment to me. We've never seen a pastor's wife do what your wife does the whole time you preach. What's she doing? She's praying. Like the whole time you were preaching, your wife was praying for you. And why? Because my wife knows I need that. Y'all with me? My prayer partner. So I may be talking, but she's doing the heavy lifting. She's holding. And then Joshua, then Moses said, made an altar. Here's what he said. We're all done. Write for a memorial in the book. God says to Moses, in the hearing of Joshua, I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called his name, the Lord is my banner, Yahweh Nisi, the Lord is my banner of victory. Because the Lord has sworn that he will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. In the name of Jesus, I declare today that the attack over your life ends. I plead the blood of Jesus against every weapon, against every lie, against every deceiving and discouraging demonic power. And I declare over your life, this is your victory day. That the Lord, your Yahweh Nisi, your banner of victory, has ruled on your behalf. And that, prayer team, please join me in the front. And things are shifting towards you in this very moment. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare, no weapon formed against you can prosper. And every tongue spoken against you, every word curse spoken against you, we cancel, condemn, remove, and rebuke. I declare in Jesus' name, what the devil has meant for evil, God's going to turn and weave it for good. That your problem is about to become your platform that will launch you into purpose. That your adversity is about to become the thing that awakens your anointing and fulfills your assignment. I declare in Jesus' name that what the devil's meant for evil, God has already predetermined, predestined, and engaged himself to turn it for good. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, someone give God a praise. Hey, would you stand up with me, please? Here's what I want to do to close it. Wednesday night, I'm beginning a leadership teaching that I will do for a few weeks here. I'm very excited about pouring out some things about leadership. Whether you are or are not a leader, you'll be blessed by this class Wednesday nights. If you have been going through spiritual warfare, today's your turning point day. And if you have been engaged in something that's been trying to discourage you, devastate you, deceive you, demoralize you, the devil's a liar. Today we're treading upon serpents and scorpions. The blood of Jesus is over your life. The name of Jesus declares your victory. The word of God prophesies, proclaims, and invites you into the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit liberates you from the activity of the enemy. But if that's you, say, Pastor Mike, I've been going through some spiritual warfare. Just be honest, wave your hand at me wherever you are. Just be, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, I know there's a lot of you. But I don't care. We'll take as much time afternoon. We don't care. I want you to come down front. We're going to pray for everyone. Just raise your hands. Come down front because this is your liberation day in Jesus' name. As they come forward, would you just worship the Lord with me? You're a good, good Father. Yes, you are.
It's who you are.
It's who you are.
And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
I'm going to ask the pastoral team, Bible students, counselors, anybody here help me with the lines today. We want everyone getting prayed for, everyone getting help today. Come on, scoot forward, make room for them. It's who I am. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and worship over with me.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Listen, if you need physical healing, if you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, today's your turning point day. We want to pray for you also. Please allow us to pray for you. You've been away from God. Make this your homecoming day. If you need a healing, we want to pray for you. Anyone wanting prayer, come and join us also. We're going to pray until everyone gets prayer today. This is your day. God's going to do miracles today. Those that want to stay can stay. If you need to slip out, God bless you. Don't forget Wednesday night service. Have a great week. You're an awesome church. God bless you. Tell someone Jesus loves them.